Blog Talk Radio.
Number one, baby. Number one. A commanding lead. We'll get to that in a minute. Black, any issues you want to talk about or topics you want to talk about that we can cover in overtime that we didn't cover in the first 40?
Whoo, any issues? Yeah, one issue that we probably didn't cover, man, that we probably should spend a little time on, Cam Newton, man. Cam Newton, man. That's a subtopic that we can kind of cover, man. I'm not buying this fact that he hurt himself his foot in the past week. To me, if you didn't come out of the game at some point and tell your team your feet was hurt, I mean, you hurt your foot, I'm not buying it, man. He waited a day or two later, and I'm not feeling that.
My thing is that if your feet hurt, wear men's shoes. Quit wearing them. Women's shoes. Topics we didn't cover in the first 40.
Yeah, I want to talk about those slippers. Why you mad at a man because he wearing slippers? And that's how his feet sensitive. That's what
wear
he needs
men's
to do
shoes.
So he can get ready for this. Well, look, but he wears slippers and that works for him. Why he got to do that? If he a ballerina, he a ballerina. Anyway, I'm going to leave that to y'all.
All right, let's get down to the get down. We're going to talk about the last week's picks. I went 10-6 last week. Pop went 9-7, and Black went Ice went 8-8. He went 500, and Black Thor went 7-9. Man, so the totals is I won 24 games, losing 7 and tying 1. Pop is at 20 games. He had to call me because he said, "Man, you got the math right. I thought I taught you some math." So I had to go back and do my calculations again and come up. Pop had 11 losses in one tie. And Black and Ice are tied at 18-13-1. How you doing back there, fellas?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. Your father, I've been feeling for the past couple of years, man. You got to keep eye on the numbers, Pop. You got to keep eye on the numbers. This mask is real shady mid-season. Keep an eye on the numbers, I'm here to tell you.
About what week, Black? What week did the numbers start getting shady?
Pretty about week 8 or 9. 8 or 9, he's a little fuzzy.
All right, man. I was wondering, man, with the 8-8 record, bro. Are you watching or are you not watching like the AAF?
Okay.
All
right. Wow. You know, I'm watching, bro. Look, unlike for others, these games count. So yeah, I'm watching, bro. I don't know what you was doing in the summertime. Hell. I think I was on a drinking binge during that time too.
Oh.
But I'm like Cam Newton. I'm not gonna make no excuses because my feet hurt. But you are in first place. Congratulations. I mean, it just comes down to things happening. First couple weeks, had to see how it plays out. You rolling, and I ain't mad at Pops for getting you corrected because you don't want to be at the bottom. That's coming soon. No disrespect, Pops, but it's all you know. It's all good. He wants to be as close to the top as he can, as much as he can, because the tide's going to turn. And the sad thing about this is, Black Thor will tell you, y'all know it. Y'all know, like you say, Black Thor coming, I'm going to just say, the storm is coming. So we are right now. The storm is coming. And y'all know it. He's like, about to batten down the hatches. Hey, you got that bomb shelter ready, baby? Because you know it's coming. If you weren't scared, you wouldn't be talking about it. But you know it's coming. Black Thor is coming. That's what he said. And the storm, baby. And the storm. Get ready. Get your popcorn ready.
I'm literally crying.
The next 4 weeks, is going to be something else. Look, hey.
Oh,
get your
boy.
Popcorn ready, as T.O. used to say.
Even quoting T.O. Black Thor and T.O. Wow. Okay. This is serious.
You know, that tell you it's a bizarro season right now, right? I'm quoting T.O. What the hell does that mean?
Wow. All right. The pick orders change this week. Black Thor goes first, followed by Ice Water, Pop, and then me going last. So Black, do you want to do your eye test real quick before we do the pick?
No, I can do my test during the picks, man. I'm cool with that. If you don't mind, I can roll
okay.
right through the picks
okay.
and everything.
You cool with that, Ice?
Oh, yeah, we don't have to rehash it. The only rehash it does is just make you feel better. So that's on you.
Oh, my goodness. All right, here we go. We're going to start with Black. The first game on tap is Tennessee and Jacksonville. Who you got, man?
Yeah, Tennessee got me last week, man. I took them at home thinking that they was going to be able to hold down them. But the Colts are playing pretty good football, so I'm not surprised they kind of lost that game. But this week, they got to travel to Jacksonville Thursday night. I think Jacksonville is starting to kind of find their groove a little bit. I think they're going to fill this quarterback a little bit. They're going to pound the ball some. I'm going to take Jacksonville this one.
All right, so you got?
Wow, that's interesting. Interesting. We starting off already.
Mm-hmm.
Should I follow Black Thor? Because he think I'm copying him. He copied me last week. Anyway, but see what it got him. Anyway.
Ain't nobody safe on this show. I'm telling you.
That was a delusion. You see that delusion I threw at him? That delusion I threw at him? Led to a delusion of grandeur. Anyway, I want to go with Tennessee. I think they got humbled last week. And Jacksonville, I like this spunk. They don't give Fournette the ball enough. And Mr. Ramsey is acting a fool. I don't think Tennessee's going to lose. So I'm going with the Titans.
All right. Pop is going with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going with Tennessee. I think they'll bounce back from that close loss with Indianapolis last week. Next game on tap, Black, is Detroit versus Philadelphia. Who you got?
Woo! Man, Detroit. There's another team that kind of, you know, I bet against last week, and they kind of did me wrong. I ain't going to bet with them this week, though. The Eagles weren't that impressive yet last Sunday. But they're home this week. I think they're going to kind of feel themselves, and they're kind of right things a little bit. I'm going to take the Eagles at home.
All right. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, you can't jump on that fool's goal too much. Lions, I don't know how the hell they beat the Chargers, but they got it done. They feel good. They might feel good around Thanksgiving too, but this is going to be late September. With that in mind, I'm taking the Eagles at home. I don't think they're going to play that bad this week. I think they will try to right the ship some way and find a way to get it done. Eagles.
Yeah, Pop picked the Eagles. I'm picking the Eagles, too, because I think last week, I don't think Atlanta won the game. I think the Eagles lost the game. That brother who dropped that ball streaking down the sidelines, that was the game ball right there, and he just dropped it. And he's probably going to be dreaming about that until he makes amends for that. But I got to go with Philly at home. They better win this game at home or they ain't getting out of that stadium. Philly at home. Next game on tap is Miami at Dallas. Should I ride across the board, Black, Dallas all the way? Because they're getting some easy pickings in the first three games. The easy schedule.
Yeah.
What you got, man?
That is true. You can definitely put Dallas down for me. I will say this, though, man. I got to admit this. I'm impressed with the quarterback, Zach, because I watched him play in college, and he has grown, man. This cat has grown from Mississippi State. And the fact that he came in, outdid Tony Romo, took that job, basically, and kind of basically put himself into one of the good quarterbacks in the NFL. So congratulations to him, man. At some point, hopefully, Cowboys signs to a good contract. But he's growing, man. This guy's growing. He's zipping the ball, and he's moving.
Yeah, Jerry, better write that check. Ice, who you got?
You know, it's a bizarre world. I even paid homage to Eli Manning, and now Black Thor is giving kudos to Dak Prescott. He's going straight
to
hell in the headbutt.
Y'all getting last place, man. Y'all just turn into two different people. I don't know what it is. Y'all just love each other. I don't know what it is.
We're wearing slippers. That's why. We wearing slippers.
Your feet hurt.
Anyway, slippers. So I'm going to go with Dallas. As you mentioned, except for when he said that they got three easy games. Why y'all talking about the schedule? Dallas don't make the schedule. They just play the games. Anyway, with that in mind, I think they are on a roll, and they're at home. And I want to choose the Cowboys to defeat the lovely Miami Dolphins.
So you had the Giants, Washington, and now you got Miami. Okay. Pop is going with his boys, the Dallas Cowboys. Got to go with Dallas against Miami. Miami giving away all their players, so they're tanking. So going with the Dallas Cowboys in Giants Stadium up there in Dallas. Next game on tap is Baltimore versus Kansas City. Black, who you got?
This is going to be a pretty good game, man, because even though Baltimore has been doing their thing, the competition hasn't been that steep for them. It's going to get a little steeper this week, so it's going to be interesting to see how they play it. But I tell you, man, I watched some Kansas City Raiders game last week, and Kansas City took their feet off the pedal. Man, they could have ran that score up. They really could have, man. They was up to 20 points before John Gruden could put a scowl on his face, man. So they kind of took their feet off the pedal, and I think they're going to kind of do the same thing to Ravens. Are they going to get out front early and force Lamar to kind of come back and win? He won't be able to, man. I'm picking Kansas City at home.
All right. So you got?
Yeah, well, this is an opportunity for Baltimore to show that they're a power again in that the conference. And what better way than to beat the team that a lot of people are picking to perhaps go to the Super Bowl in the American AFC. But also, too, the intriguing factor for me is the factor that the Kansas City defense is not playing that well this year, not at the moment. So they're giving up a lot of points, which kind of opens the door for Lamar Jackson. The only question is on the road. I'm not sure if they can get it done. And as you mentioned, it's been easy pickings the first couple of weeks. I'm going to go with, because they're at home, I'm going to go with Kansas City. As much as I like to, I love to see this game in Baltimore to see if the outcome was the same, but Kansas City.
Okay. Pop loves Mahomes, so he's going with Kansas City. I got to go with Kansas City, too. I think this is a game where Baltimore will get to see where they need to be. And so if these teams meet again, they'll know how to play them. But I wouldn't be surprised if Baltimore pulled the upset because you're right, Ice, that the Kansas City defense is it's not there yet. It's not there yet. And maybe they're going to be relying on Mahomes and that offense to kind of pull them through. And if they can't, then that may be a problem. But I got to go with Kansas City until I see anything different. Next game on tap, Black, is Oakland versus Minnesota. Who you got?
Hey, Kirk Cousins, you know, I want to go against him, but I don't trust those Raiders, man. I can't trust
them. Good Kirk, bad Kirk. Good Kirk, bad Kirk.
Yeah. I got to
pick up the trend.
I got a funny feeling. I got a funny feeling this week he's only going to throw the ball 5 times. For that reason, I'm going to take the Vikes this week.
Hand the ball to Cook. Yeah. Ice, what you got?
Yeah, Oakland and Saints, they're trying to do some things, but I don't know. I think the Vikings defense is due to kind of rise up, and you know, Mr. Carr can get a little frazzled, and it changes the whole game. So with that in mind, Cook left, Cook right, Cook up the middle, and one with the Vikings at home.
Okay. Pop talked about the Minnesota defense, and me and him talked earlier today, and I felt that Oakland got a wake-up call because they surprised everybody and won the first week, but they got a wake-up call in Kansas City. And so maybe they'll go right back to where they were, who we thought they were. And he went with Minnesota, and I'm going with Minnesota also across the board. The next game on tap is Cincinnati at Buffalo. Who you got, Black?
You know, it's interesting. Buffalo has a good game. Defense. It just doesn't get the recognition. It's funny because I remember the first week Cincinnati was playing Seattle, and they were in that game for a good portion, and the quarterback started screwing up, and he screwed up some more last Sunday. He'll screw up again this coming Sunday because Buffalo defense is good. I'm taking Buffalo at home.
Wow. All right. All right, so you got? You got burned by Cincinnati last time.
Hardcore Andy Dalton and John Ross throw a bomb 66 yards late. That was good for fantasy. Did nothing for my pick. Anyway, Buffalo, as mentioned, has pretty good defense. Cincinnati, I don't trust them on the road. And as much as I dogged him out, thought he was overrated, he was running too much last year, Josh Allen is playing a little football, bro. He's hitting Mr. Brown, John Brown, when he can find him. And if he does, even though he may not be the best, most talented player up there, he is making plays. And he's playing as if he wants to win. So I'm going to choose Buffalo because he wants to win that game. Buffalo.
All right. Papa's going with Cincinnati, but I'm going with Buffalo because this is what you said about Allen. He's playing with a lot more confidence. He's talking a lot more. He just seems to have that confidence. And just like you said, Black, Buffalo, I don't think people are recognizing that Buffalo's defense is coming. It's coming. And I'm not saying they'll beat the New England Patriots or even make the playoffs, but they play some tough defense in Buffalo. And they're the number one team in New York right now. So I got Buffalo. Next game on tap is Atlanta at Indianapolis. Black, what you got?
You know, I heard a man say one time, you can't trust him. Just can't trust him. I can't trust the Falcons, man. I just can't. If Vinatieri can make a field goal, extra point, then hell, I'm going with the Colts this game. I'm taking the Colts, man. I think the Colts really, I think they're underrated. I'm not saying they're going to, you know, do great things this season, but I think Frank Reich is a heck of a coach, man. I think he's a heck of a coach.
Mm-hmm.
He gets them to play hard. He gets them to play smart. And even though they lost the first week to San Diego, they barely lost that game, man, barely. So I think at home, they're going to have a little something going. I think the fans are going to start to finally rally around this team after Andrew Luck pulled the plug out on them. And I'm taking the Colts.
All right. Ice, who you got?
Yeah. They won last week, and they surprised the hell out of me. But Matty Ice, still, I don't believe the hype. The Colts, I do like the way that the Brissett is coming along. He's finding some new receivers, some younger receivers, and he's making plays. And I think that's all he asks is just give him an opportunity, and he's going to find a way to win. I like the way their defense tries to come up, too. I'm going to take the Colts at home.
Okay. All right. Pop is going with Atlanta. And like I said earlier, I don't think Atlanta won that game. I think Philly really kind of lost that game with some missed opportunities. Sometimes I don't know what's going on with Wentz. But like I said, that brother who dropped that ball, that was the touchdown right there, and that was game over. And that has to be haunting him at this particular time. So I got to go with Indianapolis at home. I think they'll be more prepared to play with Atlanta. And here's my philosophy: when you play Monday night and you travel, you lose. That's been my pattern, and so I'm going with that philosophy. Hey, you can
change my pick. Then. I can change my pick. Then. I got to change my pick because you know that never works.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Pop is looking shaping up. If Pop win these games that we pick, I may be sitting up in second place. New York Jets versus New England. It might be across the board. Who you got, Black?
I'm just sitting there thinking about, man, that someday we're going to be sitting there picking picks of prisoners playing each other, man. I just thought about that, man. At some point, we're going to be playing, picking picks for prisoners playing. But anyway. I'll pick the Patriots.
Alright, who you got?
MA7694MZ. MZ. MZ. Anyway. Anyway, I'm going to the Patriots, man. Tom Brady. Patriots. Brown. In his court case, Gordon with his other issues, whoever else is on the team, Brady.
Yeah. Pop is going with New England. They don't care who's on the team. As long as they can catch touchdowns and perform on the field, New England doesn't care. And they're still rolling. Man, if they keep rolling like this, Black, 16-0 in the regular season, because, you know, Pittsburgh is pretty much done. I know Randolph is throwing his behind off, but I can't see them winning. And Kansas City, their defense is not as good as they should be. So if somebody doesn't stop this runaway train, it's going to be bad. Or put Brown in jail or your boy in rehab. I don't know. New England. Next game on tap is Denver versus Green Bay. Y'all picked Minnesota last week, and that man got you. So who you got, Black?
I was going to say this real quick about the Jets, man. That's a sorry excuse for a football team, bro. I know you lost your quarterback, but damn. If all you got is Le'Veon Bell, don't even show up. Seriously, don't even show up. Really. That's a sorry excuse for a football team. I'm not trying to be hard on the Jets, but come on, man. You guys went through preseason. You got to be able to do something better than that. Yeah, Green Bay, man. I think they're starting to hit their stride a little bit offensively. That defense is definitely different. They fly around. They run to the ball. This play caller, the new coach calling the plays, he's not bad. I like the way he's mixing the run, and I think Green Bay kind of sent a message to that division early on, man. Not necessarily to Chicago, but to Minnesota, that we're still Green Bay and we're taking this. So I'm taking Green Bay with this one.
All right. So you got?
Yeah, this is very difficult. It shouldn't be, but it is a little bit. The biggest issue for Denver is the fact that they're confused about what to do on offense. And you got the quarterback back there, and you also have them splitting carries between Lindsey and the backup running back, which is not really working for them, which is going to cause a problem. You can't score the ball. And as you said, I'll say last week, you said that man got him. No, that other man got him. Her cousins got him because they should have won that damn game. Anyway, but with that being said, I'm going to go with Green Bay this week.
Bad Kurt. So this week he'll be good Kurt. Next week he'll be bad Kurt. That's when I text you back, Black, right? You were like, Kurt Cousins suck. I was like, good Kurt, bad Kurt. Well, he'll be all right. Pop went with Green Bay, and I went with Green Bay and Lambeau also. Denver, I personally, and I'm very serious about this, I thought Denver got robbed last week because that clock, the brother who caught the ball for the Bears was trying to make a play and didn't realize how much time was on the clock, and there was no time on the clock when that play was stopped. And so they got holes in their own stadium. I don't know why they didn't check it. I don't know why they didn't review it, but it is what it is, and Denver comes up on the short end. Next game on top is Carolina versus Arizona. Yeah, okay. Black, who you got?
Maybe they should let every game the Cardinals fall back because they got a way of just fighting and come back, man. And this kid, I ain't no young man, a kid, but the quarterback plays better when he's down and trying to fight and get back in. But I do think, too, partly so because the other team's defense is just basically relaxed. But whether Cam plays or not, man, I'm taking the Cardinals in this game, man. I'm taking the Cardinals. I think Carolina's in big trouble. I don't think the receivers are that good. They're going to burn that running back out. They're going to have him, you know, basically see a short season this year. And I don't think it's Cam's foot. I think it's in his head, bro. I think Cam is confused. He wants to be a running quarterback, but he can't. He's afraid to be. He's not used to being in that pocket. And sometimes his passes are way off. But I think the Cardinals are going to keep this close, and they went in the fourth. I'm taking the Cardinals.
All right. Ice, what you got?
Wow, this is a very difficult game to pick. Cardinals have shown a lot of moxie from playing hard. But Cam Newton in his bruised feet and his slippers came out and said, it's my fault. And for 1 week, I think he's going to show us that he's capable. He has a lot of weapons. At least you have a guy sitting there waiting for a play to be made and Curtis Samuel that don't use often. And you also have McCaffrey and the Lions trying to hold up. So with that being said, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to roll with Cam 1 week. And there's all this entourage and this beautiful clothing. I think they'll do enough to get by Arizona. So I'm going with Carolina.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Talked to Pop earlier about this. He said he's not picking Carolina for the rest of the year. He's done with it. And that's all they show down there, Carolina. And he said he saw enough to know that he can't trust Cam. And so he's going with Arizona with Murray. He kind of believes that he can trust them a little bit more than he can trust. And they're playing more consistently than Carolina. I'm also going with Arizona, too, because I don't know if it's the play calling. I don't know if – remember a couple of years ago that there was a receiver, I think Benjamin, who left the Carolina Panthers, who kind of spilled the tea on Cam Newton and says that sometimes he doesn't know how to audible and do other things. And so since he said that, we start seeing that a lot out of Cam. And so maybe this guy's not doing the studying. Maybe he's not doing what it takes to be elite quarterback because he was getting on the cusp of that, going to the Super Bowl. But after he got exposed in the Super Bowl, it's just been downhill from there. So it's hard for me to kind of pick Cam now. His hurt ankle, feet, whatever. I don't know what's going on with him, with how he's dressing. So, you know, bruh, just whatever it is, just come out and say it. Do what you got to do, man. You're still a football player. Just say what you got to say, man. Be who you got to be. That's all I got to say.
On that island.
Don't have to struggle anymore. Yeah, yeah.
On that island once again. All right. So. Chicago, Detroit.
So I'm going with Arizona. Next game on tap is the New York Giants versus Tampa Bay. Oh, boy. This is a black one you got.
You know, it's interesting because Tampa Bay did show some fight last week. Like I said, they played extremely well, but they showed a little fight. I think they're back home. I think they're going to show a little more fight. The Giants, man, it's just, even with the new quarterback coming in, the defense is horrible, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that this defense had a preseason, had a training camp because these cats can't tackle. They can't cover. When your coordinator is afraid to go man-to-man, it says a lot, bro. It says a lot. And they got on those bend but don't break, but they bend and break. It's just they're the defense. So I think Tampa Bay's going to have their way with them, man. I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Ice?
Yeah. Giants got me last week for sure. I think it's going to be very hard for the Giants to roll through, particularly with no Shepard, if Shepard doesn't play. I think that's going to be very difficult. Because that's what I was looking for during the game in the last week. And there's not a lot of options. And for some reason or another, they will not give their most valuable player the ball enough. And I think that famous Jameis, I said I was done with him. I am, but it's the Giants, bro. I want to. My head is like, hell no, but my heart is like, You gotta go with Famous one more time. It's not really him. It's just the lesser of two evils. So I'm going to choose the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home.
Okay. Pop is going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm going with Tampa Bay, too. And the reason being is that it seems like for the last 2 weeks, the Giants will take that first drive and score. And then the rest of the game, they can't do anything else. And so with consistency. But that defense is just a sad, sad commentary on that defense, the defensive backs in particular. And one of the problems I think that the Giants have, they have no pass rush because, you know, even if you play NFL football, you need a pass rush to get to the quarterback because it's only so long you can hold those receivers. And the Giants don't, their defensive backs don't have the ability to hold receivers, not even for a little bit. So I think Famous Jameis will probably have his way. And with that tight end and some of the receivers there, and Bruce Arians will figure out a way to pick them apart. Tampa Bay. Next game on tap is Houston versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Black, what do you have?
I'm taking Texans with this, man. The Chargers every year, man, they just can't get through a good start. They find a way to give games away. Their defense is okay, but they got to me last week, man. They're not going to get to me 2 weeks in a row. I'm taking Houston with this one.
Okay. All right, so you got?
Woo! This is tough, man. This is real tough. Oh, wow. Deshaun Watson is getting it done. Can they
protect him, really?
Yeah. That's the question. Can they do it? Wow. I'm going to have to go with I love Deshaun Watson. You know, he's one of my favorite players. But it's hard to go against the Bolts at home. And they just got shook up last week on Detroit. I didn't understand that, but I think they're going to resurrect it this time, and I'm going to go with the Chargers.
All right. Pop is going with the Chargers. I don't know if the Houston offensive line can protect Watson, and I see that Charger defense getting to him a few times and maybe a few times too many. So I'm going with the Chargers on this one. Black, you're on your own with Houston. Next pick is New Orleans versus Seattle. You said what?
I'm happy to be, baby. Happy to be. Let me be on my own.
Okay.
this, you know, I'm rooting for Teddy, but this week is going to be a little tough, man, because Seattle is cranking, man. This team is really starting to crank, and they're rolling. And even though they kind of, their defense gave up a little bit more to Pittsburgh, they probably should. I think they're going to pound the ball. They need to get back to kind of run the ball against the Saints. And I don't think Ted is going to be able enough to move that ball around this week. Maybe in a couple of weeks he will do better, but I'm thinking Seattle at home.
Okay. Ice?
Well, you know, Russell's been sliding by the last couple of weeks. Got by Cincinnati. Got by Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh. Now they're home versus New Orleans Saints without their main signal caller. Chemistry still off a little bit with Bridgewater, with the weapons with Kamara and also Michael Thomas. I don't see that happening enough. Their defense is really good, though. New Orleans' defense is starting to come around, and that's what's sad about Breeze getting hurt. Anyway, Russell, it could be us three with Russell Wilson. He's going to find a way. I'm rolling with Russell Wilson in the Seattle Seahawks.
All right. Papa's going with that 12th man in Seattle. I'm not sure who's starting for New Orleans because I don't know if they announced the starter, whether it's Bridgewater or Hill. And so to me, that means that I don't know who's getting the reps in practice and who'll be prepared to go up against that Seattle defense. So I got to go with Seattle. Next game on tap black is Pittsburgh versus San Francisco. Who you got?
Hey, man, I'm thinking this rookie quarterback. Like I said earlier, Garoppolo, I'm not buying to that hype, what he did last week. But I did see how Pittsburgh basically really was a beat when this quarterback came in, man, which says to me he's been kind of around there doing some things. They're preparing him. They had him more prepared than what you actually thought. But I think he's going to step in and do well. I know what's name is out, the cornerback. Not the corner. He said he's going to play. Connors may be out. But they drafted, I think, Snell from Kentucky. That cat can run the rock, bro. So I'm going to take the Steelers to win this one in San Fran.
Okay. All right, so you got?
Wow, this is tough, man, because Garoppolo went nuts. He had had some good plays last week. They kind of shredded the Cincinnati defense. Wow. Woo! Rudolph is the quarterback over there.
Uh-huh.
He showed me a lot. Showed me a lot last week, even despite with Ben being out. So I think San Francisco had their fun last week. Comes to an end. Just on the basic of the colors and who they are and the franchise, I'm going with the Steelers. They got a nice defense too.
Okay.
They want to show up.
Okay. Pop is going with San Francisco at home, and so am I. Going with San Francisco at home. I guess they got to look at what Randolph could do, and so I think they'll be prepared for him. Next game on tap is Los Angeles Rams versus Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns. And Faker Mayfield, Black, who you got?
The Rams, man, their offense kind of, you know, the second part of that game, the offense kind of got things going a little bit. They got their receiver back. Early, they're mixing him in just a little bit here and there. I got to take the Rams, man. I think the coach now finally realized, he talked about the Super Bowl where he realized he got old coach. Some things he should have did different. He thought he overthought it. I think he's not going to have – I don't think that happened to him again, man. I think he's kind of basically opening that playbook and using everything he has. So, Cleveland, you know, Odell is Odell, man. He looked good on Monday night. But I still don't see that offense kind of moving that much with Baker. If they can get some pressure on him.
All right. So, you got
– Yeah, I saw Gurley getting that ball more. He was making plays. And things were moving along. And I think that – the Rams coach is realizing that this guy's our playmaker. And granted, we may not use him as much, but we have to not split carries too much, too often with another back. Cleveland is, I think they're feeling some growing pains. They survived the Jets. Everybody feels good. Now reality sets back in with a team that actually went to the Super Bowl. And it's going to be a cold night on Sunday night up there on the water. Watching them Browns struggle. Going with the Rams.
All right. Pop is going with the Super Bowl runner-up, the Rams. I'm going with the Rams, too. Baker Mayfield, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Donald. He'll be getting acquainted with you all night long. Last game on tap, Black, is Chicago versus Washington. Who you got?
If Washington can find a way to finish the game, I might want to take them this week. But they can start it. They just can't finish. This is going to be a close game, but I got to go with Chicago with this one, man. I got to go with Chicago. I don't trust Washington. I just don't, man. Chicago.
All right. So you got?
Oh my God! What, the Bears?
Yeah, Black is swinging for the fences this week.
Oh, my goodness. He chose the – I will never, ever, ever show this week. Oh, man. Wow. Redskins, they're clowning Adrian Peterson. He only had 25 yards on 10 attempts last week. Ooh. Just because of the defense, I'm going with the Bears. Again.
Hmm. Okay. Papa's going with Washington, and I'm gonna take Washington too. I still don't trust the Bears. They should have lost last week. I still don't trust them. I don't trust that offense. And this is gonna be a Queen of the Pigs game. I'm not even gonna watch it, but I'm going with Washington. Those are our picks.
Hey,
on
Black
Twitter
Thor,
and on Facebook.
Can I say one thing?
Yes,
Black
sir.
Thor, welcome to the winner's circle, bruh. Because I'm there.
I did the same thing last week.
I'm talking about the Bears.
Yeah, okay.
At some point.
Look, if the Bears can't get you through, the referees will. Don't worry about it.
Yep. We can graduate him now. At some point, you already know the ties are going to come off. The ties are going to come off. So let him keep riding. At some point, the ties will come off.
We'll come back with the Major League Baseball report right after this on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio podcast. It's yours truly, Puma, with Ice Water and Black Thor. We're going to go to the Major League Baseball report. Ice, what you got, man? These races are tightening up.
Heartbreaker! Anyway, American League, let's look at the East. The New York Yankees lead that division by 10 games, 7-3 in their last 10. Tampa Bay is playing pretty good baseball right now. They're 10 back, but they're 6-4 in their last 10, although they have lost two in a row. Boston is over. They fired everybody, and they're just kind of coasting like the others in that division, Toronto and Baltimore, who already have been eliminated. Moving over to the Central in the American League, Minnesota is leading that division by 5 games over Cleveland. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They've won 2 straight. Cleveland has won 2 straight as well, 7-3 in their last 10, trying to hang around, really trying to fight for a position in the wild card. Let's move forward to the West in the American League. The Houston Astros lead the Oakland Raiders by 7.5 games. Houston is 7-3 in their last 10. Oakland 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 2 straight. Houston has won 4 straight. Big major blow for the Oakland A's, though, because they lost their setup pitcher in the bullpen, Blake Tennant, who suffered a back injury. I think it's been bothering him for a little bit. For a little while. And now they have basically shut him down for the season. That could be a crushing blow for them as they try to move forward in the postseason. Moving over to the National League, the Atlanta Braves have clinched a playoff spot, and they lead that division in the East by 9.5 games. They're 5-5 in their last 10. Washington's 5-5 in their last 10. They're behind by 9.5. Interesting story here, though. While Atlanta has struggled a little bit, 5-5 in their last 10, they had a chance to meet up with Washington, and they gave them the business. That's how you get it done. Even though if you lose, they had a nice little series with them, gave them the business. And Washington also has been struggling as well in the current series with St. Louis. They lost that series as well, so that's where they're 9.5 back. The Mets are 14 back, Philadelphia 14.5 back, trying to make moves. Might be a little too late for that wild card slot. In the Central, I just mentioned the St. Louis Cardinals. They won one game, 5-5 in their last 10, but they're hanging around, and they lead Milwaukee by 2.5. A team that's not really playing the best baseball, 6-4 in their last 10 is the Chicago Cubs, but they're only 2.5 back as well. It shows you how big of a jump Milwaukee had to make. They are 9-1 in their last 10, and they're 2.5 out. So that means they had to come back from a long way off. They won 4 straight. This is going to be probably one of the most intriguing divisions down the road, as we move further down the road. St. Louis, Milwaukee, Chicago, all within 2.5 games of first place in that division. Last but not least, in the West, in the National League, the L.A. Dodgers lead that division by 20.5 games. again, 20.5 games. They were 6-4 in their last 10. The second place team, Arizona, was 3-7. That's nasty. Again, 20.5 games. So the question is, how does that manager keep them up and get them ready for the postseason and not have a drop off like they have had in the last few years? Pops, you hear me?
And Pop,
together,
yeah, Pop says that he already says they're not going to win the World Series. They're the modern day Atlanta Braves, and Atlanta was going to the playoffs and just dropping.
I would tell you
just
this,
dropping left and right.
And I mean this in all seriousness, very quickly. Things seem real bad for the Washington Nationals. You know, they made that run, they got hot real quick, and now they're struggling. 5-5 in their last 10. So much so, it may not be related, but their manager, Mr. Martinez, was hospitalized with chest pains. They tried to kill that man. That's what the Nationals are doing to you. Ask Dusty Baker. Anyway, but moving on. That's a report for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Take care. Stay close. And stay tuned for more NFL picks because Black Thor is coming. Next.
All right. speaking of Black Thor, you know, having to do the WNBA report, then he has to get out of here. And Black, how did Chicago lose that series?
I tell you, man, it was tough when you think about it. I think it was on your mind, but the young lady, De'Erica Hamby, she dropped that long-distance three-point shot. You think when she got the ball, it was 8 seconds left. I'm surprised she didn't call timeout. But she pulled up and dropped it basically in on net, and there you have it. That has to hurt. That has to really, really hurt. Basically, if the point guard would have just kind of dribbled the ball up to the half-court line, she ran more climb up the clock, they might be playing the Mystics at this point. But anyway, the Aces moved on, and they're battling with the Mystics, and they played game one a couple of nights ago, but the Mystics were victorious. It's interesting because the game started out with Washington basically dominating. LA they lost Los Angeles. Aces got back in the game. They battled, got back in. It was a seesaw battle off and on, but towards the end, the Mystics do what they did. They're a very tough team. They pass the ball very well. They play pretty good defense. It's going to be tough to kind of beat them in the best of five series. The Sparks and the Suns, man, these two teams, man, they were battling a couple of nights ago. It was like a grudge match, very aggressive, and they were taking it to each other. The Sparks was kind of really getting the best of the Sun for a while, but towards the latter part of the fourth quarter, the Sun kind of broke and took it away from them. But I found interesting after the game, the coach, we all know him, the guy that got beat up by, I can't think of his name right now, but messing with his wife, Fisher, he got to one of the players and kind of basically was kind of trash talking, saying, "We're going to beat you next game, beat your butt," and stuff like that. And I was like, man, when the last time you heard a coach kind of go after a player and really talk trash? You may want to check that. That's not something you should be doing. I want to congratulate Natisha Collier of the Lynx. She picked up Rookie of the Year. And the New York Liberty is going to be picking first in the 2020 draft. The games kick off again tomorrow night. If you get a chance, please check it out. The fans aren't coming to the stands, but hopefully they're watching on TV. The first game should be the Sparks and the Suns. Here again, these ladies are battling. They're very aggressive and almost playing dirty to the point. You don't see that with WMA that often. So you get a chance to check it out. And, of course, that'll be followed by the Aces and the Mystics. And I got to say this, man. And I know it's ladies playing basketball, but the Aces, you got some fine ladies on that team, bro. Some fine ladies on that team. Forgive me if I'm wrong for saying it, but it's just hard to watch and not kind of think that.
I'm sure the women look at the NBA players the same way, bro. So don't apologize. All right, Black Thor, we'll catch you next week, man. Get some rest.
All right, bro. Thank you, bro.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back and talk some NCAA football right here on the Green Spot Sports Radio Show.
new body carve our Brooklyn kids. Us floor rush when the DJ's booming classics. You lead the crew on the fattest hip hop record. He touched the kinks and sinks into the sound. She frequents beat, fatter joints called underground. Our funk zooms like you hit the Mary Jane. They flock to booms, man, Boogie had to change. Who freaks the clips with mad amount percussion? Where kinky hair goes to unthought of dimensions? Why it's so fly, cause hip hop kept some drama. When butterfly rocks the light, new sway boomers. What by the cut, we push it off the corner. How was the buzz entire hip hop era? Was fresh in fact since they started saying Audi. Cause funks made fat from right beneath my hood. The pooba of the styles like Miles and shit. Like 60s funky worms with waves and perms. Just sending junky rhythms right down your block. We beat to rap, what key beat to lock. But I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that. I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that.
Welcome back to the Goose Wide Sports Radio. Ice, it's just me and you for the remainder of the show, so we can talk about Black all we want. Because I know you guys talk
no,
about me,
Black
but I'm
Thor,
not on
I can't go on. No more Black Thor. Oh, my goodness.
You're going to talk some NCAA football, man. And I wanted to get your eye test, bro, from last week's game.
Yeah, a few surprises last week, and people need to really pay attention because you never know what's going to happen. One of the games I want to throw out there was the upset by Temple over Maryland, 20-17.
Yeah,
I simply thought Maryland was ready to take a step, and East Coast football, you just never know. You can never take a team lightly, and anything is possible, and I think that's something that Temple showed us. That, as the great Denny Green said, don't crown them yet. Don't crown them yet. Temple surprised Maryland. Major victory for Temple. He's been looking for that for quite some time. Another victory that I watched very closely was Penn State defeating Pitt. Pittsburgh was in the game for a while and made things happen. I'm surprised by that. But we have to watch Penn State very closely because a lot of people are still on the fence trying to figure out how good they're going to be. And I think that game kind of showed you something a little different there. So, interesting game. Another game, too, that I watched was Iowa-Iowa State. Great interstate rival. But Iowa was able to hold on by the thread to defeat Iowa State. And I don't want to take it all, but last game that I was intrigued by as well was TCU's victory over Purdue. I think the jury's still out on Purdue. Didn't know what they were going to do this year. But they might say something a little bit more about the identity of TCU.
Yeah, I'll take it from here. I watched the Oklahoma-UCLA game. I don't know why Chip Kelly still has a job, to be honest with you. And Oklahoma, they seem like they're not satisfied because every time you talk, they interview Mr. Hurts, the quarterback. He's always like, you know, we got to improve, we got to get better, things of that sort. And part of me is saying that he knows the standard at Alabama, and he knows that Oklahoma's not at that standard yet. So that's why he's being hard on his teammates. That's why he's saying, hey, we need to improve. We got to get better. We got to do whatever we need to do. I thought Syracuse for a while was going to give Clemson a little bit of a game, but as Clemson started moving on, they eventually won 41-6. And this is a different – I think people need to realize this is a different – even though they're number one, and they'll probably win a national championship, this is not the Clemson teams of old where they had the dominating defense. Even though they're doing well on defense and even though they handle Syracuse very easily, they're still, to me, trying to figure out their way on offense and defense. And I think by midseason they'll figure it out and they'll do what they need to do. I was surprised, and I know you put up a story on the Reality of Sports and on the Goon Squad page about Florida State. They dropped another one. I didn't think they would be this close to Virginia, the 25th ranked team. But you said there was an article where a kid that was had a lemonade stand trying to earn enough money to buy up the coach. that's pretty sad. You got a kid trying to do that. The other game that I was trying to, that I saw was Kentucky and Florida, and I thought Kentucky had that game. I really did, and they just couldn't hold on long enough to get that victory. And I thought this was going to be the second year that Kentucky got Florida, but they couldn't get them. The other games that I think Arizona State and Michigan State played last week, and Arizona State, Coach Herm Edwards, outlasted Michigan State, and that was a big win for a Pac-12 team over a Big Ten team. And so you got to kind of wonder, Arizona State being a number 18 team, if Herm Edwards and that team start to make some noise in the Pac-12, then they may be looking not only at a bowl bid, but they could be kind of the cream of the crop in the Pac-12, because USC and UCLA in the dumpers, and then you have Washington State, Oregon, and all those other teams. And, Arizona can kind of make hay while they can. I was surprised that the score was so close with Alabama and South Carolina. South Carolina was handling business for a while, but then overcame. But the game that I did watch, which I was really surprised at, is at Stanford and the UCF game. And UCFS, the way they handled Stanford, especially in the first quarter, going up 28-7 on them and then kind of cruising to a victory. I know Stanford had 17 points in the last quarter, but wasn't enough to beat that team. But also, BYU beating USC, that was a big loss for USC, the Pac-12 team. And Notre Dame had an easy game of it last week, but you get to see Georgia this week, so we'll see if you're for real or not. But I told everybody last week about that Pitt and Penn State game. I thought it was going to be close, and it was close. They didn't score in the fourth quarter, but Penn State was able to kind of hold them off. And the Citadel beating Georgia Tech was a big upset that I saw. Any other games that you saw last week that surprised you, Ice?
Yeah, just looking at that, I was – one other game I was really was surprised by was the way that I'm really concerned. I want to see what's going on with Washington. Are they for real? Washington defeated Hawaii 52-20, and it's about shoot. I always wondered if Washington has enough firepower to really battle some of the top tier teams, and that score just kind of caught my eye, 52-20.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what teams are you going to be, or games you're going to be watching this week, man?
Yeah, this week, of course, we have I'm going to be watching Notre Dame versus Georgia. I really want to see what happens there, because no matter what you do, you always find a way to put Notre Dame near the frontier. So I want to see if they're for real. Another game, just out of curiosity, to see how bad a team may be, I'm going to be watching and keeping a close eye on Louisville versus Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
See how bad it really is.
It's going to be bad.
And for me, perhaps, the top game of the week is going to be Michigan versus Wisconsin. So, two teams with a lot to approve and a lot of excuses being made, but the rubber's going to meet the road. We're going to find out who's the contender and who's the pretender this Saturday.
Okay. Games I'm going to keep my eye on, Ice, is Arizona State versus Colorado. I want to keep my eye on Washington, who's ranked number 22 against BYU. BYU just beat USC. I want to keep my eye on I like watching – I don't like watching the Boise State field, but I like watching Boise State play – football, because it wreaks havoc on my eyes watching them play on a blue field when you're used to seeing green grass on the field. But they're going to be playing Air Force, so I want to peek in on that. Of course, I want to peek in on Washington State and UCLA. I want to see Texas A&M and Auburn. That should be a good SEC team game. Oregon and Stanford, to see if Stanford can rebound. UCF is always exciting to watch. Of course, you mentioned Wisconsin and Michigan. I want to see how Maryland bounces back against Penn State. Then you have Oklahoma State and Texas, and you have another number 10 team, Utah, playing USC. That should be a good game. And, of course, you got to peek in on Notre Dame and Georgia. And the game I want to look at also is, I know just for laughs, Alabama. I want to see whether or not, because Alabama looked a little, in the first quarter, they look a little ragged. And then all of a sudden they make their adjustments and they play Alabama football. But I'm looking for them to have a letdown game before they play some of the bigger games in the SEC. So maybe this may be with Southern Mississippi, a letdown game or what they call a trap game for these teams. But I'm kind of disappointed with the college season because we're not seeing those major matchups yet. And maybe teams learn from last year. I know Florida State learned not to play the number one team in the first game going out, losing your quarterback and all this other disastrous things happening in the first three games. So any other thoughts to college football, man?
Teams are ramping up. Just talk already about the Heisman Trophy race. I think it's a little early for me, but we're having a lot of great performances out of transfer quarterbacks. It's amazing to me how you go back and you look at the list of guys that were on some of the top teams ended up on other places and actually delivering the goods. So I think that's good for college football because you want all athletes to be happy and not be stuck just because somebody thinks you should be loyal to the school that you initially signed with.
What do you think about the comments I made about Jalen Hurts? Every time you see him after a game, he just doesn't seem like he's happy with the victory, even though they're trashing these teams and most of their games are on Fox. That's where Oklahoma plays. What do you think about his attitude toward at the end of games that he's not satisfied?
Well, I think he's on a mission, and I think that's the perfect attitude if I was a coach and I was his teammate, I want him to have because he's been on that stage before. He knows what it's like to play on that level, and he also knows that the ultimate goal for him is to rectify the situation that people, his reputation. People don't think that he's a passer. And the way you can do that is leading this team to a national championship or getting damn close or even winning the Heisman. So I don't think you will hear him say he's satisfied. He didn't leave Alabama to settle. And I like his attitude. I'm happy for him that he's delivering. And I'm not sure how far they will go. But I like that attitude because he's on a mission and he's focused. And it's not to prove anybody wrong. He just wants to show you how good he can really be. And maybe perhaps he felt he didn't really have that opportunity full-fledged at Alabama.
Okay. We're going to go to boxing real quick. I did not get to see the fight, but I read a lot about the Tyson Fury fight last week. And I read the comments. What stuck out to me is the comments that Tyson Fury's dad made, that Tyson lost too much weight and he was like a kitten out there trying to fight and he lost his strength when he lost lost so much weight. Did you see the fight and give me your kind of perspective of what you saw happen?
I did not see the fight, but I definitely paid attention to a lot of information based on the fight. I will tell you this, that his dad can say what he wants to. In the third round, Otto Wallin from Sweden caught Tyson Fury with a left hook, and that's what opened the cut up on his brow. And what was ironic about that was it was a very bad cut, so they went to check it and whatnot. So after the third round, it was Fury who won. He won that round, but then he had a bad cut, so they were looking at this gas trying to see what was going to happen. So The referee Tony Weeks goes over to both corners and said he knew that the cut was caused by accidental headbutt. He told both corners that. But ironically, that during that fight, Nevada State Athletic Commission tried replay for the first time. So their commissioner went over and asked the question as to why, what was going on with that cut and how it happened. And they went and looked at the replay and saw that it was actually the left hook and not the it was the left hook that caused the cut and not the headbutt. And even though Fury won, here's why this is significant. If the bout was stopped
right
around right because of the cut, than the referee saying that it was caused by accidental headbutt, it would have ruled it a no decision. But if it was stopped mm-hmm. because it was done by original punch, then that means that Otto Wallen would have had won a upset technical KO. It's amazing that the commission did what they did to try to make a difference, because what I'm understanding is that the corners were asked after the fight if they knew how the cut came from and what the ruling was, and both corners said they did. They were unaware.
Wow. Which would have made, oh boy, the linear champion, which would have messed up the money for another Tyson Wilder fight.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Boxing game, boy. I swear. But I'm going to get away from that because I actually didn't want to go back and see the fight, and I didn't get a chance to see it. It's so busy. But the fight that I'm waiting for is the Spence-Porter fight. Have you been hearing buzz about that fight? And what's your early prediction on that fight, bro?
Yeah, I have been watching a lot of things and reading up and listening, and it's an interesting fight because Sean Porter, the question is, which Sean Porter is going to show up? Is mm-hmm. he going to be the guy that likes to pressure you like he did against Keith Thurman, or is he going to be the guy that wants to box? And he fought the guys of Jordanus Ugas, and he tried to box him, and Ugas actually kind of gave him a little run for his money. And some people even thought that Sean Porter was in trouble of losing the fight because he boxed so much. I'll put it this way. I'll say this. I don't want to belabor this too much. But I think that Sean Porter is going to have to fight a diverse, he's going to use diverse styles to even match Errol Spence Jr. And I tell you why. Because if he tries to outbox Errol Spence Jr., I don't think he'll win. Mm-hmm. And if he tries to come crazy yeah. with the Joe Frazier type Philadelphia style, he's going to make a mistake because he's going to overextend and then he will get caught. Very similar to when mm-hmm. he tried to push around Adrian Broner, who caught him late and knocked him down. I think he's going to have to be mm-hmm. patient and be more of a technician where he will need to put some punishment on Spence and wait for him to tire if that happens. But if he comes in like the bulldog, like they said he will, I think he's going to lose the fight. Actually might get knocked out because Errol Spence Jr., the one thing he showed me is toughness. And when he went yeah. to fight over across the pond versus Kell Brook, he was hurt. And he got damaged a little bit, and he took some punishment, but he found a way to win. And I think that's why Errol Spence Jr., depending on the style, is probably going to be the winner. Unless Sean Porter, who has shown some improvement as a boxer, finds a way to kind of solve that puzzle.
Yeah. Here's my thoughts about it. You know I'm a big Errol Spence fan, but I'm trying to take that out of it. I think that Sean Porter is underestimating the toughness of Errol Spence, and I think he's underestimating the power of Errol Spence. And I think he's going to come in and try to play. I call him the modern-day Joe Frazier. I think he's going to try to out-tough him and try to make him bow down to his will. And I don't think that's the type of fighter that Errol Spence is. I don't think he bows down to anybody's will. He's strong-minded, and you said it, he's tough. Both physically and mentally. And it seems like, you know, you see them talking about the fight and they're having these face-offs, and you could just see Sean Porter kind of just absorbing Errol Spence absorbing some of the talk that Sean Porter is giving out, and like, man, I can't wait to this fight so I can just unleash all this stuff on you. So keep talking, and when we get in the ring, I'm going to show you exactly who I am. I'm not sure if, to me, watching Sean Porter, and I've watched him against, one-time Thurman and other fighters, it doesn't seem like he can switch up styles and feel comfortable in order to be diverse, like you said. I know he'll probably work on different things and try to give different looks to Errol Spence, but I just see Errol Spence being a very smart fighter and a very fighter that can react very quickly to whatever the fighter in front of him is doing and adjust to it and then start punishing folks in those middle rounds like he's done throughout his whole career, punishing the body and then just breaking you down and just basically just beating you down to a victory. Your thoughts about that?
No, I think you're right. I think it comes back down to that. That's why I said that it's important for Porter to find a way to move around and be and mix things up. I think, like you said, Porter has fought some tough guys. You know what's ironic about this is when I look at it, I looked at both of their records and who they fought. Errol Spence is a little green as far as the quality of opponents. When you think about it, he fought Mikey Garcia, he fought Kell Brook. He beat Lamont Peterson, and then you go, okay, now who else has he fought? But then when you look at Sean Porter, he's fought a number of champions and faced them and done his due diligence. Is that enough to get him by? I think Errol Spence is very skilled. Like I said, I think he's taken for granted the way that that he fights. A lot of people haven't seen him, so they don't think he's tough enough. But I think like I said, the Kell Brook fight showed me a lot. Because Kell Brook was ready. He came in very strong and matched him there. But then he kind of wore him down. And the question is, if Porter comes in charging with that Rhino / Joe Frazier style, when he gets hurt, how will he react? Because I watched the two fights with George Foreman versus Frazier, and Frazier came in like a wild bull, and George just chopped him down. And we know Frazier was a great champion and a great boxer and a great fighter. The same case may be here unless Porter surprises us. He could surprise us. I'm interested to see how this works out because styles makes fights, as they say, but every once in a while, somebody will surprise you. So I'm interested to see how this plays out.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with some questions from the goons right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio. Yeah, Post. Stay tuned.
Diggity, lottie, lottie, lottie. Maybe there's a party, but you can't have a party without a large Bacardi. You got to keep the hottie moving like a Maserati. 100 million women want to tone up their body. And I can never pass up a chance to romance them. Don't call me soul just because I'm handsome. So money's taking sip. If you flip and you slip, you'll be using all your teeth for Pacino chips. So we get a word, we get a word. I don't smoke the herb. And if my hottie smokes your shit, I kick her to the curb. Every minute of morning, breakfast in bed is served. Cause on women, I have an effect like a quadriverb. So can I rip?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Like Buddha. Yes.
Yes.
Out, I'm all dead when they try to test. So keep me in like Flynn. This year, I'm gonna win. If my balls are on the chin, then you got the dip. So, can I give a shout? Piece of chub, rock, track, match, and jig.
Yabba,
then I'm
yabba,
out.
No.
At the size of his chest. And nevertheless, I jumped up on the ET list. And then I phoned my home before the little kitten throws a stone. The holder of the rock, 1, 2, and you don't
stop.
Rhythm to the dism while the ism forms a prism. Suck the dism, stand like dism, dimension, prism, and ism. The one, he says he's the one, the only one. Take the two, subtract the one, and I'm done. He's have some music, strong, big, and sturdy. Watch the birdie. I'm nerdy. On the IQ set.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. You and I got to see this guy live at a Dorn Dance Festival at our university a while back, man. He still got it, man. He still got it. And I was digging through the crates, man. Thought I'd pull out some Chubb Rock.
Oh, yeah, you cannot go wrong with Chubster. And I thought about you, too, when you just mentioned it. I said, he must be feeling that vibe from the appearance at Wilberforce University. Dawn Dance, I recommend it, y'all. Y'all don't know a good party until you've been to Wilberforce, Ohio. I'm trying to tell you. Get your tickets now.
Yeah. And I think the Q's liked him a lot. The Omega Psi Phi liked him a lot because they always step into just the two of us, the song that I didn't crank up. But maybe next time. All right, questions from the goons. I'm going to start out with a question, man. And what do you think about Rick Pitino? He settled with the University of Louisville. And is he trying to get this behind him so he can get back into coaching?
Perhaps. And he knows, too, that sometimes it's best to let the clear this all up. He tries to blame the university, but there was a lot going on there. It was really sad. And in order for his record to, I would never say it would be expunged because it will not be, in order for him to probably rest at night and let the program move forward, it's best to kind of, let's just get this out of the way. Because a real coach that really cares about the university would do the same. Move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that he's looking at some opportunities that may be coming up, but this was kind of like the snag in his opportunities. They're like, hey, this thing is over your head, so we don't want that to come in and bite us later on. So I think with this move, he's setting up to do just that, to get back into coaching, whether it's on the international stage, because I know he was doing some consulting, going around to different places around the world. And so I think he's trying to set himself up for a comeback. And I wouldn't be surprised later on, I really wouldn't be surprised if he found himself in maybe in the NBA or a small college, trying to bring them back into mid-major kind of college, who is really desperate in getting some great coaching and know that they can get him probably for cheap and to get him to get their program on the map. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'll let you respond to that.
Yeah, well, somebody might buy into that, but I think it would be on a lower level. I don't really see any other top-notch programs taking a risk just because of the damage that was done. And anytime you had that connection with prostitution and women mm-hmm. being treated the way that they are, then I don't think a team or a school on that level wants to be associated with that. So if it is going to be something, it will be on the lower levels, perhaps, if at all.
Okay. Your question, sir.
My question is, I was watching and reading something, make sure I had this correct, and I even put it up on the Reality of Sports and the Goon Squad Facebook page. What do you think about the open letter to Jay-Z from Eitan Thomas, former NBA player, where he says Jay-Z shouldn't be canceled, but he does need to answer his critics? So more or less talking about Jay-Z joining the NFL and providing entertainment and perhaps saying he's going to move forward with trying to get some things done in regards to the social unrest aspect as well.
I think it was timely. And so when the story came out a couple of weeks ago or a few weeks ago, and it seemed to have died down. But I see what this person is trying to do is make Jay-Z accountable. And I think we all should to make folks accountable. And so I've been posting stuff on When Black Men Talk, also on the sports page, about how people who have done business with Jay-Z kind of say that he's a guy that does, he kind of plays dirty pool at a time to always get an advantage. And guys like Danny Dash and other folks who said this is not surprising that he did this, and how he did the guy from So-So Def wrong by saying don't take this deal, but goes around his back and says I'm taking this deal. And so I think what his thing was is that, hey, I want to make you accountable. So you said you're doing this and you said you want to help our people, then I'm going to keep a close eye on you, and I don't want people to turn their back and forget about it. I want people to monitor you to see whether or not you are going to do what you say. And I commend him for the letter, the open letter, saying, letting him know and putting him on notice that we're still watching you. You didn't get away with anything. We're still going to watch you and make you accountable. Just like the story I think we did a couple of weeks ago on the money that the NFL gave to the boxing center here, the lady who was cutting off dreads, some of the her fighters, and disrespecting whether or not they were Rastafarian or not. That's their style, and that's what that's part of Black culture, if you ask me. And her saying, you know, we're cutting off the hair for a better life. And so that got exposed, okay, not doing your research and your homework about the organization that you're so-called trying to help folks with. So I think that this guy is doing this to kind of really kind of spread light on listen, we're not going to forget about what you did, and we want to make you accountable. If you say you're going to help, then you're damn sure going to help. Your view on this?
Yeah, I think it's ironic because Etown Thomas is right on point. He just asking questions, and he wants answers, and he just wants, as you mentioned, he wants people to be aware and to hold Jay-Z to the standard that he said he would live up to. And he had a great quote in the story which says, "This doesn't look like chess versus checkers. This looks like Connect Four. You stacking your chips on top of the movement and connecting with the NFL for a straight line across capitalism. Man, that's
Woo.
Dangerous. Yes, sir.
Woo.
Yes,
and
sir.
And so if he, to me, if Jay-Z doesn't answer that, then that shows you who he is. If he doesn't answer and he doesn't, if he feels like, well, I don't have to answer because I got money and I'm doing what I want to do, then that shows you that may hurt folks. And I look at black celebrities. I just saw a story that, you know, once you get to a certain point, folks are coming at you. A story of Kevin Hart, somebody's trying to sue him for $60 million. Now, he's gone to the highest heights of comedy, selling out arenas and all that, doing more than some of the better comics than him that came through our history, like the Richard Pryor, the Eddie Murphy, and all this other stuff. And he's getting to the highest heights, and all of a sudden, he can't do the Oscars. He can't do other things. And sooner or later, some of that stuff that he does, I'm speaking of Jay-Z, may catch him up into a trick bag where people are suing him, people are going after him, and you made the $1 million, Forbes $1 million or $1 billion list or whatever, and then all of a sudden a divorce happens, a lawsuit happens, and then you are on a program called Where Are They Now? So be careful on who you kind of step over and really kind of dog, because now you, if you do that and you dog the people that you say you're going to help, you can't come back. You can't come back to the folks that put you in that spot. So I'm wondering if and when that will happen, Ice. So there you have it. Another question I have for you is, I know we tabled the Antonio Brown story, that he is another accuser that came up in Pennsylvania and Florida, and I think it's just Pennsylvania. And statute of limitations ran out just 2 years. And Pennsylvania has a knack for being behind the country when it comes to stuff like this. And so I want to get your thoughts on this. It seems like this guy has a pattern, and it seems like every week something else is coming up. How far does the NFL and the New England Patriots let him go before they say, you know what, this guy is bad news and we need to cut our ties?
Well, I think we need evidence of what's going on, too, because there's a lot of allegations. For the one young lady that was the first one to come out, she had talked about the credibility, and she was doing a civil suit and a lot of things of that nature. But now we're seeing videos of Antonio Brown and this young lady together, and it's almost as if everything is hunky-dory. So I think before you just kind of kick him out of the league for such horrible behavior, which it is if it's true, then we need to have all of the evidence in. And I think New England is going to ride it out, man, because they have nothing to lose. They're winning ball games, and unfortunately, as crazy that may sound, it always is about wins, bro. And if they had to let him go, so they didn't have a major investment, and he helped them along the way, that's what they're going to roll with. Other people may say that's horrible to do, but that's how football is. Somebody's going to take a chance. We think about the Browns taking a chance on the former Kansas City running back. They're taking a chance because they want to win. So before we just kick him out of the league, I think we're going to need to see some very hardcore evidence from both of these situations to you can have a talk to him and try to calm him down and put him on the exempt list, but you're going to have some clear-cut evidence that he's doing these things first.
In some respects, I think this is they call the Yankees the evil empire, but I kind of take that mantle or take that award away from the Yankees and give it to the New England Patriots. Here you have an owner who got videotape on him and all his atrocities, and they won't put out the videotape, and he's still owning the team, and everybody seems to have kind of forgot that story. about underage human trafficking with him and some of the things that he's been doing. You have a player that died in prison, Hernandez, with all the stuff that he was doing while he was a player there. You have Tom Brady with throwing away his phone, all this other stuff. It was, you would think that the end of, now you got Antonio Brown. And you would think that with all the stuff that this agency or this organization has against them and the atrocities they have, that the NFL will step up and go, enough is enough. And I'm not even going to talk about them spying on other teams and doing all kind of kind of havoc with other teams. You would think that they would say, you know, enough's enough, and we need to really kind of sanction this team or do something more critical than what they've been doing. But it just seems like they got a foothold in the NFL. They get away with a lot of things. And, you know, not really criticizing how they play football because they're a great team on the football field, has some of the greatest players, and they have a dynasty right now. But some of the things off the field, I don't want to pick on the Dallas Cowboys, but it reminds me of the Dallas Cowboys at one particular point where the Dallas Cowboys had the White House and all this other stuff going on where, you know, Irvin and all those guys were running back in the 90s. It just seems like the NFL just doesn't care as long as they're making money and as long as the people are buying the product. It just doesn't matter. And it's kind of a sad commentary on our society where, you know, things like this can happen, especially against women, and nothing is done. Nothing. It's just a story that runs for about 3 or 4 days, maybe a week or two, and then it's over. It's gone. On to the next game, on to the next play. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, but it's that club, and America buys into that club. You mentioned about the Patriots. They give them away with a lot of stuff or things that don't happen. It's that club, and Robert Kraft is a major cog in that club. He's a key cog in that club. And unless you get some straight-out evidence that shows him really belittling some people or somebody, I think a lot of times if he was to say he was there and it happened, he would be the first one to say whatever happened was consensual. And that's not funny to laugh at, but it's real. You talk about Antonio Brown. You think about all of these different things, but they choose and make the rules the way they want them. And it's sad in regards to society, but some of the same people that, as we talk about, say it's sad, guess what? They're going to be ponied up on Sunday. They're going to be right there making their picks on their fantasy, watching football. And that's what the NFL wants you to do. They want you to forget about the stories that are going on. They want you to watch football. And when the Kaepernick thing kind of went down or it kind of got muddled over, that's what people are. We're talking about these issues, but we're also watching Antonio Brown catch a touchdown and then celebrating in the crowd like as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
They just moved
it's
on.
Sad
that,
it's,
yeah.
And I can't kick my mind off it, but it seems like it doesn't matter to the folks that are in the stadium. They're cheering for him, and it's like, you know, maybe it's the helmet. They don't, you know, really kind of think of him as human. Their football team is winning, and that's it. That's all they really care about.
Well, let's be real, too, though. If Tom Brady allegedly put him up in his house, Tom Brady says, okay, how can he be wrong? I'm just saying. Think about that.
Ain't no way I put him in my house with Griselle. No, ain't no way. Ain't no way. Last second shot, sir.
Yeah, last second shot. I just want to kind of go back over the open letter from Etan Thomas, former NBA player, to Jay-Z. Here's one other quote, and I'll leave you with this. Etan Thomas also went on to say, let's be honest. If Kaepernick never took a knee and verbalized that he was protesting systematic racism and police brutality, this deal would have never been extended to you. You got to read this article, ladies and gentlemen, on the Goon Squad Sports Radio, Facebook, and also Reality Sports. Just think about what I just said. Thank y'all.
I can't add anything else on that. I'm going to leave it there. Catch us on YouTube. Catch us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We'll see you next week.
You're bringing your bloody brains all over your nice Ivy League suit. Yeah.